The following is a message given by Sheldon Campbell, a pastor at Grace Family Church in St. Catherine, Jamaica. To learn more about Grace Family Church, visit gracefam.church.
Pleasant morning, Grace Family Church. As I said, it's indeed a privilege for me to preach God's words to you again. Would you just turn with me to John 14, or you can find it on your devices. The title of my sermon this morning is The Person and Work of the Holy Spirit. As you heard from Joel, this message is a part of our Where We Stand series. On January 9th of this year, our last message in the series was it was done by Joel, where he addressed the Church of Christ. And you heard that we're going to be doing a few messages in this series before we head to Ecclesiastes. So let's, the same Holy Spirit who guides us into truth and inspire the Scriptures, that same Holy Spirit, we are trusting Him this morning so that we may be illuminated, that we may believe in Christ, that this morning He will speak to our minds and just lead us to understand the truth which our triune God wants us to learn this morning as we read John 14 verses 15 through to 17, which reads, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So today I'm tasked to describe a person to you and the work they do. Now, normally when we are trying to give a description of a person, we would usually refer to, one, their appearance, whether they are tall or short, thin or chubby, you know, beautiful, handsome, attractive or not so much. That is if we are being honest. You know, we may also speak about their character traits. You know, are they good-tempered? Are they polite, friendly, honest, generous, etc.? Or are they bad-tempered, rude, lazy, angry, insensitive? Maybe the third thing we may do as we try to describe them is we would talk about their feelings and their emotions. Are they sad or happy, exhausted or energetic, confident or scared? Now, regarding this person that I need to describe to you this morning, he has no physical appearance. Although he had descended upon Jesus in the appearance, operative word here, like a dove at Jesus' baptism, John 1:32. He also appeared like flames or tongues of fire in Acts 2. Regarding his character traits, you know, he is known to produce love and joy, peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control in others, which I believe is instructive of his very own character, as we see in Galatians 5:22 to 23. Finally, concerning his feelings and his emotions, while he is all-powerful, you know, he can be grieved. And I think you guys figure out by now who I'm talking about, right, this morning. Naturally, I'm talking about, as I said, the person of the Holy Spirit. And while I will develop a little bit more about the that truth about the person of the Holy Spirit this morning, I also want to speak to the work he does. And I want to say from the outset this morning that our passage today is going to demonstrate that the Holy Spirit provides us with everything we need to flourish as believers and to tackle our everyday challenges. So let me just say it again. The Holy Spirit provides us with everything we need to flourish as believers and to tackle our everyday challenges. Now, that statement is not just wishful thinking that we need to affirm regarding the Holy Spirit as believers, but it must govern how we make decisions on a daily basis. However, I know often my trust and my confidence, it don't demonstrate that truth. I don't know if you guys can relate to that. And I've been thinking about it. Is it because the Holy Spirit does not have a physical appearance? You know, I can't just, you know, just talk to him like, oh, I'm just, well, physical, meaning looking at him and we're talking and stuff like that. Is it because of that? You know? Is it because of that that we may either forget that he's present or we may take him for granted? And that's kind of crazy when I think about it, because when we think of the awesome privilege which we get as believers, as we have one of the persons of the Godhead. Just get that. Just think about that. We have one of the persons of the Trinity living inside of us. Notwithstanding, I believe today we are going to see in our passage that it is going to solidify that the Holy Spirit provides everything we need to flourish as believers and to tackle our everyday life. All right, so for this text, I will be looking from three perspectives. I'm going to, from the perspective of the past, present, and towards the future. However, I only have two main points which I'll choose to cover, and I believe the Holy Spirit had inspired the Apostle John as he was writing this book and this particular chapter that we're focusing on here, John 14, 15 to 17. I believe he wants us to see these two, one, the person of the Holy Spirit, and two, the work of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, these are the two things we'll be focusing on, the person of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. All right, so let's just jump in. We already started a little bit talking about the person of the Holy Spirit, but I just want to say that as a church, in the same Where We Stand series, Sean Taylor covered the Trinity in July of last year. So for some of you may wonder why I'm not going to go, you know, try to demonstrate that the Holy Spirit is God and all that kind of stuff this morning, because you can just look on our, you know, go on our webpage, website and just check last year, July, and you'll see we have a message on that. So one of the things we're going to assume then this morning is that most persons here present or listening on the live, that you already know the reason why we believe the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, all right? Now, this truth is even alluded to in our passage this morning in John 14. As Jesus says, so I want you guys, if you don't have a Bibles, you can ask for someone to go for Bibles, but I need you guys to be following with me this morning. I know how we preach here at Grace Family Church. We tend to stick in one passage. But this morning, this is our main text, but we will be doing some spiritual scriptural gymnastics this morning. Scriptural gymnastics. So I need you guys to follow with me because we're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures this morning, all right? But I just said that that truth, the truth of the Holy Spirit being the third person of the Trinity, was alluded to in John 14. So let me just kind of touch that. So Jesus says, listen, I'm leaving, but I'm going to ask God the Father to send another helper. We see that in, you hear him talking about his leaving in verse 2 to 3, and then the another helper in verse 16. Also in the following chapter, which is John 15, 26, Jesus says, but when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. So I want you to get this concept. So these references therefore indicate that the Holy Spirit, this is a term, a theological term, the Holy Spirit proceeds. So, you know, some of you guys may hear about the procession or the proceed. You know, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, meaning he's coming in obedience to the Father and the Son's directions. Now, remember, I started off by saying we at this church, we affirm the Trinity. So therefore, at the same time, remember, the Holy Spirit is God and equal in attributes and nature with the Father and the Son. Therefore, the Holy Spirit, you heard this in our song this morning, praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit. He is worthy to be worshipped and glorified with them, Father and Son, as part of the Trinity too. Listen, I want to make this very clear. The Holy Spirit is not a creation of God. It's very important for you guys to recognize that. Also, so we need to understand then the gravity or the importance of what Jesus is saying in John 14, verse 16, by promising that the Holy Spirit will come and manifest God's active presence in the world, which would directly benefit his followers who make up the church. So, let's kind of go into this a little bit more. So this helper, this advocate, you know, some of us who read the King James Version, you would see the term comforter. But in the English language, well, English today doesn't really do that term justice, because when we think of comforter, a lot of times we're thinking about someone who is trying to comfort you, but there is more to the term. And I think as we look at what is this Greek term, which I'll talk about a little bit, maybe a few seconds from now, you'll get a better understanding of what the King James was trying to say when it mentioned comforter. But you would hear these terms, counselor, helper, advocate. They're really trying to understand what this Greek term, and the Greek term is the word parakletos. Now, but there's something I want to say before I jump into that. Jesus was leaving, and the Holy Spirit was coming. Listen, this was a phenomenal thing that was taking place. It was signaling the inauguration of a new age. We have to understand that, because sometimes when we read John 14, we're not recognizing that, listen, there would be coming a time, and we know what happened at Pentecost, and we know when we read the Apostle Paul, who talks about this new covenant and this new work, but this was this kind of breaking in, this new age, this new dispensation. When we look in the book of Acts and we see what takes place, this is this new age, this breaking in, this inauguration. So, again, this is just context. I can't really go into that, but that must be something that you're thinking about as we go through our passage this morning. All right, so William Barclay notes, it is only when we examine, and remember I told you the Greek word here, parakletos, in detail that we can catch something of the riches of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. It really means someone who is called in. But it is the reason why the person is called in which gives the words its distinctive associations. The Greeks used the word in a wide variety of ways. A parakletos might be a person called in to give witness in a law court in someone's favor. He might be an advocate called in to plead the cause of someone under a charge which would issue in serious penalty. He might be an expert called in to give advice in some difficult situation. He might be a person called in when, for example, a company of soldiers were depressed and dispirited. So, and this would speak to the kind of King James Version now. So I want you to hear how different it is now. So a company of soldiers were depressed and dispirited to put new courage, not just comfort as how we think, but to literally put new courage into their minds and hearts. I'm sure that gave you a different feeling of the word comforted there. Mm-hmm. Always a parakletos is someone called in to help in time of trouble or need. So basically what he concludes then is what Jesus is saying is, I am setting you a hard task. And I'm sending you out on a difficult engagement. But I'm going to send you someone. The Parakletos. You guys are not excited. I don't understand. I'm getting excited and I know what is in this. Listen, I am going to send you someone. The Parakletos, putting the terms now, an advocate, a helper, a counselor, a comforter. And he is going to guide you as to what to do, and he's going to enable you to do it. Wow. Listen, we are going through a pandemic right now, and I know, and Joel talked about it. I don't know why Joel bait us up now. Joel bait us up, because Joel said to us as a church that we must go, spend time in Lamentations, and as we pray, a pure thing start retreat. But the good thing is this morning, and as Joel ended his message, even today in his prayer, Lamentations 3, the hope. We have hope, because the reality is, Joel never really bait us. He prepared us. Because God knew from beforehand of all the troubles that we would have gone through. So as we have been, as a community, you know, people have had all kind of illness over the past few weeks. We've experienced death, all of these kind of stuff. And I know there are sometimes we can feel like, listen, almost like, you know, Jesus was saying a while ago, I'm leaving. And sometimes we feel, yeah, it's like almost like Jesus has left us. Tell the truth. Though sometimes you kind of feel like, I need Jesus. Where is Jesus? Now, while he's not physically present with us, and I'm talking about Jesus here, he assures us that he is praying for us, and he bids us to go to the Father in prayer. You know, we can boldly go to the Father where we receive mercy and grace. But there's something I want you guys to see this morning. We have the Holy Spirit with us always. Listen, this truth needs to sink in this morning. This should be very, very encouraging and give comfort in these times, these difficult times, especially when we need guidance and we need answers. You know, I think you guys are getting a sense of the context of this passage. And I want to go a bit deeper. I want to go a bit deeper. So even though in my intro I kind of talked about some of the ways in which the Holy Spirit is a person, let's jump into verse 17. So we're back here, John 14, verse 17. And one of the things, and I want you to see who is the person speaking here. This is Jesus. Note that. Please note that. And Jesus uses this kind of personal pronouns. For he, him, as he refers to the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole masculine pronoun, but all I want you to recognize is he uses a pronoun, he and him. This is a person. This is not a it. It's not an it. You know, I want to, I don't know if you call it digress a little bit, but or divert, whatever, but I want us to look at a few scriptures which will kind of, I think, will kind of help us as we think through the Holy Spirit as a person, as we seek to affirm this truth. Now, again, time doesn't permit me to talk about all of the things to solidify this point, but I think if I just look at maybe about three or four this morning, you guys will get the sense of the Holy Spirit being a person. So, all right, so this morning, Joel did mention about the Holy Spirit being someone who, you know, gives us spiritual gifts and stuff like that. But if we were to just go back just one or two chapters before that in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, this is what it says. It says, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews are Greeks, slaves are free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. So believer, no, that's interesting. The Holy Spirit baptizes, okay. I'm going to add to that now. Believers are not only baptized by the Holy Spirit in this way as we just read in the scripture, but they're supposed to identify through water baptism, and I'm sure you guys know where I'm going. If you think of the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19, what is it that it says there? It says that we are to be baptized in the what? The name of the Father, name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. No. So let's put those two scriptures together. You ever know anybody getting baptized in any something, in any it? When we read scriptures, who tends to do baptism? Isn't it people? John the Baptist, the disciples of John, the disciples of Jesus. You ever hear any it baptizing anybody? No. The other thing you need to understand is, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, these are persons. The Father is a person. The Son is a person. So why some people think the Spirit is just a force, a wind, this impersonal thing? It's ridiculous. All right. I think as we look at even just the Great Commission, it again just affirms this idea of equality in the Godhead or the Trinity. Indeed, he's a person. The other thing I want to talk about is the Holy Spirit grieves, and I did mention it earlier. In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, when he was talking about Israel rebelling in Isaiah 63, verse 10, the scripture says that he, the Holy Spirit, turned to be their enemy and fought against them because he was so grieved that these Israelites rebelled. But you may say, oh, Sheldon, that is Old Testament, so let's look at the New Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus and the Apostle Paul warn against grieving the Holy Spirit. We see that in Matthew 12, 24 to 32, and Ephesians 4, verse 30. Now, I don't think I have to prove that you don't ramp with the Holy Spirit. Because one of the ways in which the church grew significantly in the book of Acts was out of a couple who decided to lie to the Holy Spirit, and I'm sure you guys know the consequences, Ananias and Sapphira, them dead, D-E, not even D-E-A-D, dead, D-D, dead, because they lied to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks. So I talked about the Holy Spirit baptizes, grieves, the Holy Spirit speaks. In Acts chapter 13, verses 2 to 4, we see the prophets and the teachers, they are gathered at this church at Antioch. And what happens? As these prophets and teachers are worshiping, the Holy Spirit speaks and says, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work I have called them." He speaks. And the last I'm going to leave with you this morning is the Holy Spirit decides. Again, we did touch on a little bit about 1 Corinthians 12, but it actually says, and I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, maybe you want to just jump in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. It actually says that he alone decides which spiritual gift each person should have. You guys ever realize that? So I really have an issue when persons don't believe the Holy Spirit is a person. Because I think just our little survey a while ago, it would have shown that the Holy Spirit is a person. No, I want to, am I on the right page? 1 minute. I need to switch this. My apologies. Right. No, you know, one of the reasons why the church has rejected Arianism, and some of you may say, "What on earth?" Shalom just said. I'll make it simple for you guys. Cults like the Jehovah Witness, which would seem to be a following of those traditional groups, as they have argued that the Holy Spirit is not a person and just a force, breath, wind. You can see why the church, you know, have a serious problem with that, because I think there are many scriptures which substantiate that the Holy Spirit is in fact a person. Listen, an impersonal force just could not do the things we just mentioned. Anyway, now that we have examined several ways the Holy Spirit demonstrates he is a person, let's go on to my second, and this would be my last point, the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is where I'm going to spend some time as well. All right. No, I know before I even jump into the text this morning, I'm sure many things are going to come to your mind as we think about the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure many of you are already, you're thinking, you know, the Holy Spirit, he gives us spiritual gifts. I'm sure some of you may be thinking, yeah, He gives us assurance of salvation. We see that in Romans 8, 16. He guides us and directs us. Romans 8 as well, verse 4, 14. He teaches us. We saw that this morning in St. John 14. Some of you also may be thinking on scriptures like him convicting us of sin and righteousness and judgment, which is in John 16. Verses 8 through to 11. Some of you may be thinking, well, the Holy Spirit actually helps us to live holy. And we know that from 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, and Romans 8, verse 13. Some of us may be jumping and thinking, oh, let's think about Acts. You know, he gives us power for service. Acts 1, verse 8. Some of you may be thinking, as you think about the work of the Holy Spirit, you may be thinking about the fact that, you know, he baptizes us and he fills us with his Spirit. And we see that through our Acts. However, these are just few. I want you to hear that. These are just few of the works of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, don't jump the gun. And pay careful attention. As we continue in our text this morning, so we're going to return to John 14, verse 17. So stay with me. where Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. Now, I think this is another one of the works which the Holy Spirit does. He brings us into all truth, namely the truth of God, which we see in John 16, verse 13. Thus, there are truths about God which we will only come to learn through God's inspired word by the Holy Spirit. We see that in 2 Timothy 3:16, and through him directly. Now, as I say that, there is a scripture I want us to just read. It's a very interesting passage. I remember when I was a young believer and I read this passage, I was like, what is in the Bible? 1 John 2:27. It says, but the anointing that you received from him abides in you. Wow. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. Now, this isn't saying that you must make your be in a community of people who teach, or that's not what it's saying here. So don't take this where it's not going. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. So, brothers and sisters, this morning, you know, there is this reservoir. We have access to this Holy Spirit. I mean, here in John 2, it talks about this anointing, but we know where we get this anointing from. There is this Holy Spirit that we have access to. Listen, it is amazing how much this Holy Spirit can reveal to us about God's words if, hear it now, if we rely on him to guide, direct, and teach us. Listen, I know I used to be the dean of a seminary, but I want to say it here, and I'm not knocking seminaries, but the Holy Spirit can teach you God's truth. He can give you special revelation in the scriptures. When you speak, people are going to say, where on earth you learned this truth? You didn't even go to so-and-so school. Because you simply do what the Bible here says. You rely on the Holy Spirit to teach you. God is true at his word. And as I say, I'm not knocking seminaries, but I want you guys to recognize. So this kind of thinking that I hear sometimes where people feel like, I can't know the word of God. That is a lie from the pit of hell. The Holy Spirit is there to teach you the word. I think what we need to do is to put in the time. Ouch. Yeah. I think we need to humble ourselves, eat our humble pie, and sit under God's word and ask the Holy Spirit to teach us. Now let's continue in verse 17. It mentions that the world cannot receive him. Now, I think this is clear. Only God can give us the gift of receiving the Holy Spirit. We, the world, etc., cannot do it through our efforts. This is a supernatural work that Jesus refers to as being born again. We see that in John 3. Verses 3 to 8. This born again or this regenerating work is done by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are many things I could have spoken about this morning that the Holy Spirit has done from the beginning of creation, and many things that he will do in the future. However, this morning I just want to cover just a few of the major ones that I believe may be beneficial to us today. So, all right. So we're going to do some little jumping. I did warn you that we're going to be doing some jumping around this morning. So, all right. So from the beginning of creation, we see what? The Holy Spirit hovering over the face of the waters right before God spoke creation into existence. We know this is Genesis 1, verses 1 to 2. Now, while most believers will know of the work the Father and the Spirit did in creation, because they know John 1:1, they know Genesis 1:1, and so forth. They may not know that the Holy Spirit was very involved in creation too. And I'm not going to go into all those scriptures, but I'll just say them so you guys can jot them down. So you guys can look in Psalm 33, verse 6, 9. Please write it down, because I know some of you may not know these scriptural references. Psalm 33, verse 6 and 9. You can look at the Psalm 104, verse 30. Matter of fact, I'll read Psalm 104, verse 30 to you this morning. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. Can't be any clearer. If you even jump into Job, in Job 33, verse 4, it says, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Have you guys ever seen that? Moreover, if you jump in the chapter right after that, in Job 34, verses 14 to 15, it indicates, or maybe I should say it says, if he should set his heart to it and gather to himself his spirit, gather together his spirit and his breath, what would happen? All flesh would perish together and man would return to dust. So basically what the scripture here is saying is that the Holy Spirit gave life from the beginning of creation. The Holy Spirit is this kind of creative work or agent at work. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that. But he's also present tense, continuous tense. He's given us life. He's given life to all things. Have you guys ever recognized that? I know we talk a lot about Jesus sustaining life and stuff like that. But the Holy Spirit is very much involved in that. You know, furthermore, if we think about in the Old Testament, we see where the Holy Spirit, he was very active among God's people. He helped them to live holy and to seek to fulfill the requirements of the covenant which the Israelites had made with Yahweh, with God. We know the Holy Spirit saved the Israelites. He delivered them. He guided them. We know that the Holy Spirit even empowered the prophets. We know, I can't get into all of that, but you guys have many Old Testament scriptures of prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and this one, where the Holy Spirit revealed God's words to the Israelites. And through that, they could live in a right relationship with God. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit, don't just think the Holy Spirit is this kind of person that we meet in the New Testament. Because I know sometimes that's kind of what we think. But I want you to recognize, no, the Holy Spirit has been very active from the beginning. Very, very active. Anyway, you know, we're coming to the end of my last point. And, you know, I want to read just a little bit, just a part of what we believe as Sovereign Grace Churches, as part of Sovereign Grace Churches. This would be our statement of faith. And as I said, it's just a part concerning the work of the Spirit in Christ and the New Covenant. So this is a very nuanced area. But I want to read it to you this morning, because I want you guys to, again, just get to appreciate what the Holy Spirit is doing in the New Testament. So it says, the Spirit's work in the New Covenant centers on Christ and the church. It is by the Spirit that Jesus Christ was conceived and born of a virgin, anointed to fulfill his earthly ministry, empowered to offer his life as a sacrifice, and raised in resurrection power. After Christ ascended to the Father's right hand, the promised Holy Spirit descended at Pentecost and ushered in the new era of the Spirit's fullness, indwelling believers and empowering them for life and service. The Spirit glorifies Christ and bears witness to him. We went through some of this morning. Convicting the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. He inspired the record of New Covenant Revelation and makes it effective in people's hearts through the gift of regeneration. Remember this morning I mentioned regeneration is just a fancy term to talk about being born again. He illuminates God's words to his people, assures them of God's love, comforts them with his presence. He intercedes, you know, pray on their behalf and sanctifies them in conformity to the image of Christ. The Spirit is the bond of our union with Christ, the seal of our salvation. Why only too quiet in the car? I feel like I just run up and down and go like a mad smuddy as I read this, because this is amazing. This is what we're reading about, is this Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, you know. Do you guys get that? I don't know. Anyway, the seal of our salvation, the first fruits of our redemption, and the guarantee of our inheritance. You know, as you have learned about the many things the Holy Spirit has and continues to do for us on a daily basis, are you growing in your knowledge and your love for the Holy Spirit? Grace Family Church, do you want to grow in holiness as a community and believers individually? Don't you want to be victorious over some of the sins that you have been struggling with for quite some time? And you've wanted to know, how am I going to get freedom? Don't we want to see more miracles and God's active presence at work in our community and our lives? Don't we want to see more persons coming to faith and the anointing of God to preach good news to the poor more evident as we proclaim the gospel, which releases the captives, as Luke 4 verse 18 says. Listen, with all that we have seen that the Holy Spirit can do in these areas, are you praying fervently to experience growth and success in these particular areas? You know, altogether, my sermon this morning, I think, was very straightforward. I think it demonstrated that, listen, the Holy Spirit provides us with everything. This wasn't some kind of exhaustive look at what he does. But listen, what we have covered, I'm convinced that he gives us everything we need to flourish as believers and to tackle our everyday lives, our everyday challenges. Listen, you know, in conclusion, to me, it just feels so crazy to me that we have access to the Holy Spirit, who is God, who dwells in us at all times, and yet our daily lives many times don't reflect that truth. It's like we are the richest of peoples, but have successfully deceived ourselves or forget that truth and live like paupers. You know, in the midst of this pandemic, wars and rumors of wars and calamities and challenges in our lives with work, in school and family and parenting, etc. You just put in something. We have the Holy Spirit, our advocate, our helper, our counselor. Don't forget that. Listen, the Apostle Paul wanted nothing less than the believers to know and to experience the Holy Spirit's presence. That's why he talks so much about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, to participate in his work, to partake of his fellowship. You know, C.J. Mahaney says, listen, we must remain dependent upon the Holy Spirit, pursue his presence and power for sanctification and service and grow in eagerness to experience His gifts as described in Scripture. Scripture does not permit us merely to affirm the existence of the Holy Spirit. Scripture calls us to grow in our relationship with Him and our experience of His presence and His work. Amen. Let's pray.
You have just listened to a message by Sheldon Campbell, a pastor at Grace Family Church in St. Catherine, Jamaica. To learn more about Grace Family Church, visit gracefam.church.